From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Winners of the Legends Division, the Spartans of Michigan State University come into tonight's game with an unblemished record in conference play, an unwavering belief in one another, and oh yeah, the number one defense in the nation. Cook. And Cook looking. Cook, drop it back deep. He'll take that shot. A little bit. Touchdown, Spartans! Here's Cook. Play fake. Cook with Todd wide open. Touchdown, Spartans! Josiah Price. Fourth down. Here's Braxton Miller. And he won't get it. What a play! DeNico Allen. Lip it in motion. He'll give it straight ahead. Langford!
My goodness, my goodness, my goodness. I tell you, Gus Johnson could make my grandmother sewing sound like the Super Bowl. Unbelievable stuff there. Can you smell the roses, folks? What a weekend. What a moment. What a game. Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. On this December 9th, 2013, the Michigan State football team, they're heading to the Rose Bowl, folks, in case you didn't know. They topped Ohio State down in Indy on Saturday, booking their ticket to Pasadena. And, folks, Current Sports was there. That's right. Alex Sharg and I made the drive to Indy, bringing you exclusive coverage from that Big Ten championship game. On today's show, you will get to hear my sit-down, my one-on-one with Coach Mark D'Antonio right after the game, and you get to hear the story behind that one-on-one chat with him after it. It was chaos. You know, we pulled some strings. Current Sports, we pulled strings for you here, and you'll get to hear that in just a sec. And, of course, you'll get to hear from the players in the locker room, a crazy locker room afterwards, as you can imagine. I mean, they go to the Rose Bowl for the first time since 1988. That locker room was banging, folks. But you'll get to hear that interviews from the players. They were dancing all night. When we cover all angles here on Current Sports, you also get a chance to hear from a few fans who made the trip to Indy to support the green and white. All of that and so much more. You do not want to touch that dial, and we are asking all of you to call in and share your thoughts on this historic moment. Call in and tell us what you think of the Spartans heading to Pasadena to the Rose Bowl. And share your thoughts on Saturday's game. Give us a call at 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. Also want to remind you all that Current Sports TV is also right around the corner, 2 days away. You can be in the TV studio audience this week when my guest on Current Sports TV is former MSU player Otis Wiley. Wiley played high school ball in Flint and was a star safety for MSU from 2005 to 2008. And he's a sideline reporter now for Spartan Sports Network and also a development fundraiser for Michigan State. Recording takes place 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday. That's right, Wednesday night at WKAR-TV Studios on the MSU campus. Seats, again, are totally free, folks, but reservations are strongly recommended because seating is limited. That's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, and guest Otis Wiley this Wednesday night. Be there or be square, all right? Reserve your free tickets. Just go to WKAR.org to do so. Well, let's get to the show. Here are your Current Sports headliners for this December 9th, 2013. Again, MSU going to the Rose Bowl, folks. That's the talk of the town. Again, number 10 Michigan State at the time. From a 7-point third-quarter deficit, they rally back to score the final 17 points Saturday against Ohio State. 34-24 was your final, denying the Buckeyes a chance to play in the BCS National Championship game. Ohio State came into the game with the nation's longest winning streak at 24. had not lost under Urban Meyer in 2 seasons and had one of the nation's most productive offenses and underrated defenses. Connor Cook finished 24 of 40 for a career high 304 yards and 3 scores. Jeremy Langford ran 24 times for 128 yards, becoming the first player of the season to top 100 yards against the Buckeyes. Now for MSU, it was a milestone night. It won its 12th game for the first time in school history, completed a perfect conference season, and extended its own winning streak to 9, something it had not done since the start of the starting in 1966 at 9-0. Now, most importantly, the players got to hold the roses for the first time, again, since 1988, and the celebration began even before the final seconds ticked off the clock. Mark D'Antonio said afterwards, quote, "I can tell you this, we beat the number 2 team. We're 12-1, so why not us? Why not us? I'll vote us number 2. So there you have that, and you also get to hear from Coach D later on in the show. As he talked with me one-on-one after that win over Ohio State. And you also get to hear from the players in just a second. Again, call in. We want you to call in and give us your thoughts on that Rose Bowl, on the Rose Bowl. MSU heading to the Rose Bowl and on the Big Ten Championship game as Michigan State topped Ohio State. We want you to call in and give your thoughts on just this one historic milestone, this historic moment that many of you out there, many Spartan fans who are out there listening, have been waiting for quite some time to enjoy. So give us a call, 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. Call in and share your thoughts on this incredible moment. All right, well, I tell you what, the students, they wasted no time partying this past weekend after that MSU win over OSU. Thousands of MSU students and fans, they celebrated the football team's Big Ten title win Saturday night with large, rowdy bonfires. Kid you not, okay? East Lansing police arrested multiple people Saturday night near River and Cedar Streets. Captain Jeff Murphy said in a statement that no injuries were reported in what he called a, quote, a large civil disturbance. Michigan State University President Luana K. Simon issued a statement Sunday expressing pride at the victory and anger at the disorder, vowing punishment for any students involved. Now, Murphy declined to release arrest figures Sunday, saying his department would have more details this morning. So I'm sure they've been released or are being released right now. EL Police got help from MSU police and state police and Ingham County Sheriff's Department. So they all combined in an effort to try to alleviate the situation or eradicate it on Saturday. Now, River and Cedar Streets are the traditional spot for Spartan sports celebrations. Celebrants threw landscaping trees, a bicycle, fire extinguishers. They threw all of that into a bonfire near the Cedar Village Apartments and overturned a car outside another apartment. Now, Erica Gonzalez, she was quoted. This is actually, I saw this article on ESPN.com. Erica Gonzalez said that 8 people approached a red car near Milford Arms Apartments and quickly flipped it on its top. My goodness. Now, officers surrounded another large fire about 2:30 a.m. Sunday and marched slowly down River Street to disperse the crowd. Luana K. Simon said in a statement that, quote, the behavior last night on campus and in East Lansing, both by students and non-students, was disappointing. Unfortunately, the behavior of a small number cast doubt on many. So there you have that. You got to celebrate responsibly, folks, and not get a little too, I mean, what do you expect, though? MSU students, I mean, I kind of saw that one coming. All right, BCS selections. For the final time last night, the BCS held a selection show. The number 1 Florida State Seminoles were picked for the title game to face the number 2 Auburn Tigers. Of course, the BCS has 4 other bowls and 8 other teams in its collection. For the final year, the Rose, Fiesta, Orange, and Sugar will be labeled as BCS Bowls, and as they will rotate as playoff games starting next season. That should be very interesting. So the other matchups include Alabama. They will be in the Sugar Bowl versus Oklahoma. The Tide are in their first non-championship BCS game in 5 years, where they were upset by Utah in the 2009 Sugar Bowl. Michigan State, of course, in the Rose Bowl. They will take on Stanford on January 1st at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Spartans got their first ever BCS berth and just under the wire, along with their first Rose Bowl berth again in 25 years, folks. Now, the Baylor Bears, they will be in the Fiesta Bowl against the Central Florida Knights. That's also on New Year's Day. Bryce Petty and the Bears may have needed help to win the Big 12 at the end, but they still got into the BCS for the first time. And, of course, Ohio State now, with the loss to MSU, they drop into the Orange Bowl versus Clemson. The Buckeyes would have ended up in Pasadena with a Big Ten title, either in the BCS title game or Rose Bowl, but now have to travel to another warm weather bowl instead. So there you have those matchups. All right, MSU soccer falling to Notre Dame. The MSU men's soccer team's magical run in the NCAA tournament has finally come to an end. A 2-1 defeat at the hands of Notre Dame ends their title bid in the Elite Eight. Now the Spartans fell behind early to the Fighting Irish with Evan Pankins' goal in the 32nd minute, opening the scoring. 3 minutes into the second half, Patrick Holden scored again for Notre Dame, putting the Irish up 2-0. From then on, though, they held on for dear life. A Tim Chapin header in the 58th minute tightened the score, but the Spartans couldn't net the equalizer before time ran out, barely missing on a few occasions, including a strike off the post from Tim Kreutz. Now, Michigan State wraps up the 2013 season with a 14-6-3 overall record. Pretty impressive stuff. The Spartans' 14 wins this season set up a new program record and sent them to the NCAA tournament Elite Eight for the first time since 1968. One magical season for them. MSU volleyball is still alive, though. MSU's women's volleyball team had a successful weekend and kept their season alive with a big four-set win over 17th-ranked Kentucky to advance to the Sweet 16 for the second time in as many seasons. Now, the Spartans were led by senior Lauren Wazinski, whose 16 kills, 17 digs, and 4 blocks were instrumental in taking down the Wildcats. Now, the tough win in Lexington tested the Spartans, who split the first two sets before taking the third and fourth. Their win propels them into a matchup with Big Ten power Penn State, with whom they split the season series. The Big Ten has 7 teams in the Sweet 16. The Sweet 16 match is set for Friday at 5 p.m. in Lexington. MSU hockey, MSU men's hockey team, they welcome national powerhouse in number 1 ranked Minnesota to Munn Ice Arena for a competitive weekend series, stealing the first game in a shootout before falling in the second game 3-2. Now, Friday night saw MSU recover from 2 separate 1-goal deficits to draw even at 2-2. Before winning the shootout 1-0 on Mike Ferrantino's lone goal, Spartan goaltender Jake Hildebrand had 44 saves to keep MSU in it. But on Saturday, Minnesota jumped out with 2 first period goals on their way to an eventual 3-0 lead and 3-2 victory. The top-ranked Gophers got all they could handle in the inaugural weekend of Big Ten ice hockey. And MSU coach Tom Anastas took note, even in defeat, saying, quote, "We expected Minnesota to come out hard today, and they did in that first period. We thought we would have to weather a storm. We didn't weather it enough. Consequently, it was very difficult to recover." You got to give a hats off to the MSU men's hockey team because, tell you what, anytime you push the number one team in the nation to the brink like that, that's saying a lot, okay? MSU, man, they're really, really good. Okay, Lions lose to the Eagles. Yes, the Eagles came from behind to beat the Lions 34-20. LeSean McCoy set a new Philadelphia Eagles single-game rushing record with the effort, with 217 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns. The Eagles amassed 283 total yards on the ground, which was more than the Lions had given up the last 6 games combined. Can you believe that? Quarterback Matthew Stafford was just 9 of 24 passing for 120 yards. He and center Dominic Raiola, they fumbled the exchange 5 times. throughout the game. Can you believe that? And the Lions, this loss drops the Lions' record to 7-6. They're in desperation mode now, folks. All right, Pistons fall to the Heat. Miami routed Detroit 110-95 on Sunday after a home loss to the Pistons less than a week ago. Miami took an early 16-5 lead, and the Pistons fought back, but the Heat went on a 13-2 run in the third quarter to make it 74-57, and it was over from there. LBJ, LeBron James, the King, he had 24 points, 9 assists, and 7 rebounds. Ray Allen, he had 18 points. They were also without Dwayne Wade once again on Sunday. Andre Drummond had 19 points and 14 rebounds for Detroit. He scores double-doubles in his sleep. Brandon Jennings added 19 for the Pistons. Wings, the Rings, they watched the Panthers beat them 2-1 for the first time in regulation since December 1st, 1996. And they also watched Gustafsson's 5-game winning streak go up in smoke. Defensive Gustafsson playing in back-to-back games for the first time this season. He stopped 35 of 37 shots. Defenseman Nicholas Cronwall said, quote, "We stopped skating and started watching hockey. The Wings totaled 23 shots." And Maglio Ordóñez, can you believe this? Only 1 year after retiring from baseball, Tiger Maglio Ordóñez has been elected mayor in Venezuela. Ordóñez retired in 2012 with a career 309 average over 15 seasons with the Tigers and the Chicago White Sox. His 294 homers are the second most by a Venezuela-born player, trailing Andreas Galagos, which has 399. So Ordóñez is a mayor. Can you believe that? How about that? All right. Well, those are your current sports headliners on this December 9th, 2013. If you want to call in and comment on any of those, you know the number. 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. We're taking your calls throughout this entire show. Call in right now or leave a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, or even tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. And we're asking you to give your thoughts on MSU's Big Ten Championship victory over Ohio State. They now get ready for the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, California on New Year's Day. Again, call in and give your thoughts, 517-355-9527. I believe we have a caller right now, Mike from Saginaw. How you doing, Mike?
How you doing there, Al? I want to tell you, Earl's finally going to get his Rose Bowl trip, huh?
Yes, finally. It's been a long time coming, and you know what? I'm actually going to be calling Earl later on today just to chat about it, see if he's already – I'm pretty sure he's already got his tickets. He's probably – he's already got his flight. He's already got his hotel, I'm sure. He's been waiting on this for years, Mike.
Is you planning – is y'all going to send anybody out to Pasadena or
– Yes, we will be. We will also be out in Pasadena to cover it.
Okay. But I get, here's a scenario I thought about. If Michigan State would have lost the game and Ohio State would have went to the national championship game, would Michigan State still would have went to the Rose Bowl?
Well, it all depends. If Michigan State, the big thing coming into that game, if Michigan State would have just stayed into that top 14, it would have been likely that Michigan State would have been playing in the Rose Bowl, win or lose on Saturday. When you look at it, and you look at the dynamic of that game coming into it, if Michigan State would have got completely blown, it would have took an astronomical result of Michigan State getting blown out in that game for Michigan State not to make the Rose Bowl. They just had to stay in the top 14, and it was projected they would make the Rose Bowl. But now, of course, you don't even have to worry about that.
Okay, I got one more question. I'll let you get to other things. But I was going to ask you about Michigan State and North Carolina basketball game.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd like to ask, if North Carolina did they have more talent on the floor, or did they just play harder than Michigan State?
Well, I tell you what. Well, first of all, thanks a lot for your call, Mike. I got to tell you, Mike, when you look at that game, it came down to the E word, effort. We talked about it here on Current Sports last week. That Michigan State basketball team just looked like they were defeated from the start of that game. I mean, no passion, no heart. And then you had lingering injuries with Gary Harris and the ankle injury. Adrian Payne looked tired. He was cramping up. But there just seemed to be no fight for that Michigan State basketball team. And, you know, Tom Izzo afterwards in the presser, I mean, he was quoted as saying it was one of the most disappointing losses in his tenure here at Michigan State. So that game just came down to heart, and it was just a lack of effort, something you rarely see from a Tom Izzo-coached basketball team. Thanks a lot, Mike, for your call. Again, we are asking you all to call in and give your thoughts on MSU's Big Ten Championship victory over Ohio State. They now, of course, are smelling roses. They get ready for the Rose Bowl January 1st. That's right, New Year's Day at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. MSU will take on Stanford. We want to get your thoughts on that, on this incredible historic moment. First time since 1988 that the Spartans go to Pasadena and play in the Rose Bowl. Historic stuff, folks. Give us a call, 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. And yes, Current Sports was on the road. We were there down in Indy at Lucas Oil Stadium. Alex Sharg and I made the trip. What an electric moment. What a time. Tears were flowing. The locker room was unbelievably crazy. And you're about to hear right now from players Benny Fowler, Curtis Drummond, Makaijah Reynolds, Tony Lippitt, and Keith Mumphrey, and their thoughts and their reaction after winning the Big Ten Championship over Ohio State and now heading to the Rose Bowl.
Feeling great. It's an unexplainable feeling. Feel like we're on top of the world. We only got one loss on our record. We should have won that game. So I'm just so proud of our team and, you know, how we handled the adversity all year. Happy.
Does it feel even better knowing the progression you guys made from the beginning of the season till now, raising that trophy and now going to Pasadena?
Yeah, that's the best part about it. All the adversity that we went through, everybody doubting us, and then us answering the bell.
What was the biggest thing about your guys' faith never wavering?
We knew we were a good offense. Every Big Ten game, the receivers and Connor, Jeremy Langford, we've all played well, and that carried over today.
For you, to seeing the celebration going crazy in the locker room right now, I mean, this moment is unbelievable for you guys. First of all, how do you feel personally?
Personally, I feel great. I'm happy to be a part of this group. You know, it's a special senior class. It's a special team. As you can see how we celebrate after every game, we are a tight group, you know. Chemistry has brought us here. And I love my team.
We about to go to Cali. You already know. My man Benny, get off, baby. All day.
How in the world does this feel?
Man, that's a harder question than you think, man. It's really indescribable, man. This is the happiest I done been in forever. Just seeing all your hard work pay off, man, and just getting to somewhere we ain't been in years, man. It's indescribable, man. Yeah, we came a long way, man. We started from the bottom, now we're here, man. I mean, coming into the season, a lot of people doubted us. Throughout the season, a lot of people doubted us. But, man, we got a great group of guys that just stay confident in each other, stay pushing through whatever, man. It just paid off.
What led to that faith never wavering throughout the season?
Man, it starts from the top with Coach D. He a very confident man, a faithful man, and it just trickled down through the coaches, our captains. We had a great group of captains that just kept us motivated every week, no matter who he was playing, and just a group of guys that we have. Credit to the coaches and the type of people they recruit.
I want to ask you now about the Rose Bowl, something you haven't been here since 1988. Talk about making history.
Man, we talked about in the banquet last year. Coach D said you will be the ones, and it started there, man. And for us to see our hard work pay off, it's indescribable. It's really indescribable.
Sum up this moment in one word.
Oh, man. Undescribable.
I mean, words can't describe, man. This is stuff you dream about when you were a little kid. When you're playing football when you're little, you only imagine things like this, and for it to happen, and you know, it's just a blessing, man. I'm so thankful. I thank God so much for just this opportunity for us to be here right now. And, you know, it's amazing, man.
To see the progression of this team where you guys were at the beginning of the season, the doubt that the media and all the talk outside of you guys were saying, and to see where you guys are now. Talk about that progression and how humbling is it to be where you are right now?
You know, it's always been about us. We've always taken the attitude and the mentality that it's all about us, and it doesn't matter about what anybody else outside of the building thinks about us. And, you know, it's so humbling to be a part of something like this where you have such a close-knit family and everybody believes in themselves. And, you know, this is truly just it's a blessing, man. I don't know any other way to describe it.
Throughout this game, when Ohio State stormed back and tied the game, was there any doubt that you guys are going to pull this out?
There was no doubt. We lost our mojo for a minute. You know, there was a couple series where, you know, we lost ourselves. But, you know, Coach Dews and Coach D, they came over and said, hey, we just needed to take a second, calm down, you know, and regroup. And we found ourselves again after those couple series. And, you know, it's coaching like that and teammates that support you and say they got you no matter what. That allows us to be able to accomplish something like this.
Man, I'm still kind of shocked, man. Like, but I know we put in so much work for these past 9 months to get here. And it's just showing that we out here being playing confident and just believing in ourselves. And now we at this moment right here, man. I feel good.
Was there any doubt this entire game that you guys could snap the streak and beat OSU and claim this Big Ten championship title?
We got to believe in ourselves. I don't really know if it wasn't really any doubt. But we know it's adversity going to come in the game. They're going to come back and score, We're going to come back and score. It's a back-and-forth game, and that's a great team. Take no credit away from them. We just had to come. We just had to dig deep and just bring it out and just come and win. And that's what we try to do. Amazing, man. It'll be amazing because we worked so hard, man, and the world was against us. The whole world, they were just overlooking us. Ohio State going to the national championship and just overlooking us like we was nobody. And we took that personal. It's a personal game, man. We try to come out and just make plays for the team and this organization and for our teammates. And that's what we try to do, man.
We take it all the way back to winter workout. We knew we had a goal. We knew what the ultimate goal was to see us finally reaching that goal, it's insane. The hard work, I mean, everything. We knew we had the talent. We just had to put everything together and do what we had to do, and everything came together. We knew that if we could work harder each and every game, that things would be a lot better. So, I mean, to see that happen, I mean, it's great.
When you see your teammates here celebrating, I mean, you got roses in your mouth, and you see the fans out there go nuts. I mean, what goes through your head?
I mean, like, this is what you come to college for, like, the moments like this, moments that will last forever, and these moments that nobody can take from us.
It seems as though when all the doubt, I go back to the beginning of the year, all the doubt that the media made, fans made, I mean, your guys' faith never wavered. What do you attest to that?
I mean, man, I'm so excited right now, I don't even know what to say, man. I mean, it's like, this is the best feeling in the world. I mean, like, hard, I mean, it's amazing when you can see the hard work you put into it and behind that everybody down you, and then you prove everybody wrong, man. It's just, that's a dream come true. Like, I never think I'd be going to a Rose Bowl coming straight out of high school. But now it's like, we made it.
Now you guys go into the Rose Bowl, something that hasn't been done since 1988. Just talk about that historic moment in making history.
I mean, we haven't been to a Rose Bowl in 25 years, and I mean, a lot of people doubted us, and A lot of people didn't think that we would be the team to take Michigan State back to the Rose Bowl at the beginning of the year. But as the season went on, I mean, things changed.
Did that motivate you guys even more, knowing that you guys had the doubters?
A lot. It was like, hey, we got doubters, and we know we need to work on them, so we're going to do all the little things. We're going to turn it up a notch. When people not working, we're going to be doing the extra work, the hard, the little work.
Congratulations.
Yes, sir.
Well, there you have it. That was Benny Fowler, Curtis Drummond, Mekhijah Reynolds, Tony Lippitt, and Keith Mumphrey. After that win over OSU, and you know, now they head to the Rose Bowl. We're asking you to call in and share your thoughts on that one historic moment on Saturday. And there's still history yet to be made when they do play in Pasadena on New Year's Day at 5 p.m. against Stanford. I believe we have a caller right now, Todd, on line one. Todd from Lake Orion. How you doing, Todd? Welcome to Current Sports.
I'm doing very, very well. What a tremendous football game on Saturday. Two very physical football teams that played hard and left it on the field. If you're a fan of either school, that's really all you can ask for. And Michigan State gets another chance to play another physical football team in a football game that, if everything goes well, should be maybe as good or better. But I want to make a point here, and I'm known as a Michigan Slappy. Michigan State, excuse me, I don't know where they're at. You know, and I follow them, but I'll tell you what, I'm for everything that this football team accomplished on the football field this year and in past years, we need to be thankful and appreciative. But I want to bring up a point that I haven't heard brought up really by anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did this football team make us proud as Michigan State fans for what they did on the field, and I don't know this to be true, but they also had two first-team academic All-Americans on it, and Max Bulla and Mike Sadler.
Right.
And there are a lot of other kids that are doing excellent work in the classroom and the community, too, that need to be appreciated that I probably don't know about, that maybe you do, other people on that campus. But I'd like to ask any other so-called football program, and maybe there is another school, and if I'm wrong, I'll admit it. But let's acknowledge, again, not only are there tremendous football players, they're tremendous young men who contribute to the community and their university.
Right.
And I'm as proud of Max Bulla and Mike Sadler for what they've accomplished in the classroom is what they have on the football field. And every time I get to hear some flap from somebody else, from their school, whatever, that's fine. Everybody should be proud of what they've accomplished, you know, at any university. I'm never going to downgrade anybody who's done that. So let's realize again, they win football games, they do it with good kids, and they do it with integrity. You know what?
Right.
And that's what any football – I don't care whether you're in Austin, Texas, Columbus, Ohio, Los Angeles, California. There's a lot of great programs around. We name them. Michigan State does it the right way. Are we perfect? No. But we try to be perfect, and that's important to us fans who really understand all the hard work and effort it takes to win football games, but then to have good, great, proud young men that we know can be a part of our community and our future makes me just as thankful. So thank you for letting me say that.
Yeah, no, thanks a lot for calling, Tad. I think Tad makes a great point because, you know, so often, you know, with the politics of college sports in general, not even just talking about football. I mean, when you talk about college sports, I mean, we put the weight of the world sometimes, you know, on these kids' shoulders. And, you know, we forget sometimes, you know, when you look at powerhouse programs, you know, across the nation, whether it be whatever sport it is, like I said, whatever sport it is, and we forget that at the end of the day, these are still kids. These are still kids in college, you know, trying to get a degree at the same time while playing a sport. And, for a guy like, you know, Max Bulla, who is a leader of this team, and a guy like Mac Sadler, who is unbelievable on special teams. I mean, just players in general to whatever athlete it is that is playing a college sport and is not only excelling on the court or the field, but is doing it also in the classroom. I think that also needs to be acknowledged. And it's a very, very good point. Thanks a lot, Ty, for your call. Really appreciate that. Again, if you want to call in and give your thoughts on this incredible Michigan State football team and the ride that they're on right now, of course, they're now heading to the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, California. Give your thoughts. Call in and share your thoughts just like Ty did. 517-355-9527. Again, that number is 517-355-9527. You know what? A crazy story here, folks. You know, it was chaos on the field right after the game, as you saw on TV, if you were viewing it from TV or even at the game. Of course, the players rushing the field. Current Sports was there. And as you just heard from some of the players that we talked to after that game, and you know what, I started, you know, freaking out saying, hey, where's Coach D at? I gotta talk to Coach D. So you know what, after we did locker room interviews, I come out and, you know, I'm looking around and saying, you know, okay, where's D'Antonio at? I talked to a few people who you know are in charge of the locker room, and they told me that Coach D will be pulling up, you know, with his wife and you know, and with his family in the hallway, you know, to the right. So I waited for him, and you know what? Current Sports flagged Coach D down for a nice little one-on-one. Here's Coach D'Antonio after that one historic win, now heading to the Rose Bowl.
First of all, you guys now go to Pasadena the first time in two decades. I can see you smiling right now. Talk about this moment and what it means to you.
Well, you know, I've gotten to know George Perlis pretty well over the course of time, and he was the last one to take us there. And, you know, when we came back in 2007, and I became the head coach. That was our goal, and we continued to talk about that goal. We'd get close, won 11 games a couple times, and we never made it. You know, and now we're here, and our football team has been resilient. We paid the price along the way. So now to get there, just it's an amazing feeling that I can see our football team getting there and our players and see the happiness in their face.
Coach, I got to ask you, does it mean even more seeing where this team, the progression of this team from the beginning of the season, where the doubts and all that kind of crap, to where you are now? Does it mean more looking at the progression of this team over time?
Yeah, it really does, because, you know, we were a football team that had to earn our way in. You know, nobody picks us to win the Legends. Maybe one person. Maybe Herb Street did, so give him some props. But nobody picked us too much. We weren't in the top 25 in September. People were sort of doubting us. We needed to find an identity on offense, and had a great defense and doing some good things on special teams. But in October, we started to believe a little bit and started to get confidence. And then November, we just won it. We won four games in November, starting with the Michigan game. And then we come into this game, you know. And I just knew that we had a shot. If we could just keep our presence about us, that we had a shot. And I really did believe last year that we would be in this position. I believed it because we were so close last year.
You know, Coach, something I did before I came to Indy, I actually rewound the tape of you and I sitting down, if you remember, middle of the season, you and I sitting down on Current Sports and talking about this year. Something that really stuck out to me was the vibe of that interview and how you talked about faith never wavering, your faith never wavering, your players' faith never wavering. Talk about that asset to this team.
Well, that's what I feel. I, you know, this is a people business. It is. It's just a people business. And when your players give up on themselves, bad things are going to happen. But if players just continue to push it and come to work each day and keep just banging it and grinding it out, you know, good things are going to happen. And, you know, last year we were close. We really were. I mean, we lost 5 games by 13 points. So we were close. You know, we felt like we had some unfinished business. We lost some games maybe we shouldn't. We might have won some games we shouldn't. But that if we could just find the inches, that things would go our way. And we started to believe in those things. And we got great senior leadership. And I've always been taught, you know, that if your seniors have their best year ever, you know, great things are possible. And that's exactly what's happened.
Coach,
Denard, you know, Isaiah Lewis, you know, our guys, Max Bulla, they've had their best years.
Without a doubt. Now, Coach, what are you going to do to celebrate? Got to ask you that.
Oh, I'm going back to the hotel with my family, and, you know, this place isn't going to close down for a while, so I'll be all right. But I just feel totally content.
One word to describe this season, this moment, and now going to the Rose Bowl. One word to describe it, Coach, and why?
Completion. Why? And I said it a number of times, but if you know, the word seven means completion in the Bible. And we've been here 7 years. There's a lot of sevens looking around here. And I just felt like it was our time.
Boy, I love asking that question. One word to describe the moment and why I love asking that question. You just get raw emotion out of that question. Now, again, as Coach Mark D'Antonio, after that win, Michigan State now heads to the Rose Bowl. First time since 1988. Earl, I know you're listening. I know you got your ticket book, buddy. I'm going to talk to you later on. Well, you know what? Let's take a quick break. When we come back, you'll get to hear from a few fans that made the trip to Indy on Saturday to watch that Big Ten championship game at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indy. You also get to hear what they think of MSU going to the Rose Bowl. And you can call in again and share your thoughts as well. Pick up that phone, dial 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. You know what? You know that song we played on Current Sports, I believe it was last week? Well, you know what? It got remixed. And, yeah, you hear it? You hear that? That's Rich Homie Quan. And he's remixed the whole song, catering to this incredible Michigan State football team. They play this after every win. You better believe they played it after Rose Bowl. Here it is.
Dogs, we win it in the end zone. Chilling number one defense all over. Big Ten undefeated. No truth, they ain't cheated. Green and white since 1855. Legends, the vision, chest back. D'Antonio got them feeling some type of way. That green and white got them feeling some type of way. D'Antonio got them feeling some type of way. Is it cause we're number one, you feel some type of way? Type of way, make them feel some type of way. D'Antonio got them feeling some type of way.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Well, again, we're dedicating this entire show to you calling in and letting us know and sharing your thoughts on, you know, MSU now heading to the Rose Bowl. It's first time since 1988, long, long time. Give us a call, 517-355-9527. You give your thoughts on, you know, them topping OSU. Many, many, many people, nationally especially, not even expecting MSU to top OSU. Many people already had OSU going to the national title, but MSU definitely spoiled those plans. I'm joined now by Alex Sharg and Matt Lutke. And, you know, before we dive into this game and talk about this historic moment, Current Sports, we also hit the streets. About 30 minutes before that game started, Alex and I, we hit the streets and talked to a few fans to get their reaction on this incredible football team.
All right, this is Al Martin for Current Sports. We are here at Lucas Oil Stadium here in Indianapolis, Indiana. And, of course, you know we had to run into some Spartan fans. How you guys doing?
Yeah! We're doing good!
All right.
Let's go, baby!
All right.
It's just to see the rivalry, Michigan State being in the big game. You don't get to see it quite often. It's been since 1988, so hopefully this will start to new things, new beginnings with the D'Antonio era.
Yeah. D'Antonio's worked really, really hard. Work with those guys, the whole staff. They've come along.
You got to give Coach D'Antonio all the credit in the world because he's bringing this team back to where it should be.
What do you think makes Coach D so special?
He cares about his players. Just truly a nice person.
Coach D'Antonio has got us knocking on the door, and it's going to be a great time in Pasadena.
I love our boys. Every time they make an improvement, it's the best thing ever. Like, I love them. I work in the training room. Every time I see an improvement, it's the best thing ever. Like, they work so hard for this, and I'm so proud of them.
How exciting is it for you guys?
It's amazing. It's pretty awesome.
If MSU wins, what are you guys going to do if MSU wins?
Go crazy.
Go crazy.
Ask my parents to go to the Rose Bowl.
Ask your parents to go to the Rose Bowl. You want
to
go to the Rose Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Michigan State's going crazy!
Let's get this Rose Bowl, baby! Let's go, number one!
But as you see, the excitement is off the charts. We'll see you back in Lansing.
So there you have it. Oh, that was a fun time. Fun time. It was kind of a challenge to find some sober MSU fans, but we found a few, right, Alex?
Oh, yeah, and we found Mike Hogan.
Mike.
Who was a former linebacker here at Michigan State. Yeah. So, yeah, some great
Mike
numbers.
Hogan, yeah, we ran into him. We were actually trying to flag some down somebody who actually went to that 1988 Rose Bowl game, the last time MSU was at the Rose Bowl. We got so lucky. Mike Hogan was actually a MSU linebacker, from 68 to 70, was a captain his senior year. So, special dude there. Again, you can check out all of our coverage down in Indy on WKAR.org, right? You can check out the package of us talking with the fans. Also, you get to hear hear the live, uncut, raw video afterwards in that locker room. It's all posted on WKAR.org, WKAR.org. You can just tune in and, just click play, then boom, you got it. All right, guys, historic win. As you heard from the fans, you know, D'Antonio deserves a lot of credit. Again, his faith, I mean, the man, he never got rattled this entire season, and now they're booking a ticket to Pasadena. Guys, what are your thoughts on the game?
I'm still, you know, swollen with pride. It was a great game. It played out exactly how I pictured it in maybe like a dream. You know, I knew that they would probably jump out early. I think I said last week, because Ohio State hasn't been to a game like this before. They haven't played in a championship game like this. Michigan State had 2 years ago. They jump out early. Ohio State rallies back. I mean, it was a roller coaster, and it ended on, you know, the highest high that Michigan State has had in 25 years. I mean, you talk about D'Antonio never wavering. He never wavered because, you know, he's been building to this moment for 7 years. And he had faith in what he had built. He had faith in his assistants. He had faith in his players. And they returned it. And they earned it. And they went above and beyond. And it's incredible to see. And I'm looking forward to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like you said, I mean, when you talk about this team, to me, what really stands out, you know, when you look at the game, Connor Cook, the guy just doesn't, his confidence is so, it's unbelievable. I mean, you know, for him to be, you know, such a young quarterback, and, you know, even when Ohio State, they stormed back, they tied a game at one point, and, you know, you're looking, and even when after he threw the interception at that one point in the game, I'm looking at Connor, and it seems as though he just brushed it off. And just he looks to play the next down. That was so impressive to me, and that's something that really stood out in that game.
Oh, absolutely. And the funniest part about it was that when Connor started threading the needle for those passes, I think D'Antonio and the rest of the MSU team agreed to solidify Cook as the quarterback for next year. There's no way that you can go with anybody else at this point.
Yeah, I totally agree. I believe we have a caller right now. Joe, how you doing, Joe? Welcome to Current Sports.
Hey. Thanks, Al. Appreciate the pickup here. I was at the game, and terrific performance. I predicted before the game that we would win by two scores, and I'll stand by that now.
I'm sure you will.
but you know why? Ohio State played such a weak schedule, non-conference-wise. Mm-hmm. we all saw the Michigan game, and Michigan, you know, obviously scored a lot of points on their defense. Mm-hmm. But the reason I knew we were the better team was not only that, I thought, you know, they played Michigan. They barely beat Wisconsin, a good Wisconsin team.
Mm-hmm.
And Penn State, that's pretty much it. I mean,
right.
Apart from that, they played Cal, who's what? I don't know what they finished. 1-11, I think.
Not very good.
So, you know, they really, Florida A&M and these teams they played, I thought this team hasn't really, even to this day, had not been tested. And
right.
They got tested, and the better team won. It was fantastic.
Exactly.
Go Green.
There you go. Hey, you know, I got to ask you, Joe, will you be heading down to Pasadena?
Well, I'm thinking about it. I don't know. Do you know if there's any packages out there, or is the alumni club doing anything?
That's a very, very good question. Well, you know what? I got an email. If I can just keep tuning in, because I think I got an email from MSU Athletic Communications talking about how many tickets are available and whatnot. Stay tuned. I'm going to try to dig that email up for you. How about that?
Please. Yeah, because I'd be interested, and maybe other listeners would be as well. And I know that flights are going to be exorbitant, because I thought about going to Phoenix last year, and the flights were over $800, so I have no idea yet, because I haven't looked into it, but
right.
I would imagine you're looking at a grand or more just to get out there.
Right, so, right, right, exactly, so, exactly.
But, you know, I don't know if the alumni club or anybody else is doing any packages, but I would be interested in. My brother, who was an alumnus as well, was at the game with me, and he would be too. So
there you go.
Others out there.
We'll keep you posted, Joey. Thanks a lot for your call.
Okay, thanks, guys. Go Green, go White.
There you go. There you have it, Joe. Thanks a lot. Right now, I'm reading. I just pulled up the email. Michigan State receives an allotment of approximately 24,000 tickets for the Rose Bowl. Tickets are priced for $185 for Spartan Fun and University donors, as well as football season ticket holders, and $150 for MSU students who held football season admissions. Rose Bowl tickets may be ordered online at MSUSpartans.com. Click tickets and proceed to the Spartan online ticket office, or by calling Spartan ticket office. Open weekdays from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. There you have it. So, but yeah, guys, going back to it, though, and you know what, the moment of the game, because, you know, watching that game, you know, on pins and needles, because, you know, the Spartan fan in me, of course, I'm an MSU alum, so I'm sitting there, you know, I got to stay unbiased, I'm a journalist as well, but at the same time, looking at that game, the fan in me, you know, wanted to come out so bad, and it did internally. It didn't hit me that MSU was going to that Rose Bowl. It's booking a ticket to the Rose Bowl until we saw Jeremy Langford just really put it away and had that run to seal the deal. You know, I also want to give a hats off to Denicos Allen, who on 4th-and-2 with about 5 minutes left, which I think was the play of the game, making that huge tackle to stop OSU in their tracks.
Yeah.
How in the world, again, and I said it last week, how in the world is Denicos Allen not named on the first 10? I understand it was a great year again for linebackers, but Denicos Allen is unbelievable. That was the play of the game, and, you know, it was a point where, you know, OSU was charging, MSU was up by 3 at that point, and then a huge stop totally shifts the momentum, and then you have MSU finishing it out. It was great. It really surprised me. I'll tell you what, the defense giving up, what is it, over 300 yards, 374 yards, I believe. That really surprised me. But then again, you look at Braxton Miller. I mean, he's tough. Braxton Miller is one tough dude to guard.
He's tough, but they made him one-dimensional. I don't think he had more than 2 completions to a wide receiver, it felt like. They couldn't get anything going in the passing game because Denard and Waynes were
playing. That's
what I'm
saying, and I said it last week.
Out of their minds.
Exactly.
Denard
exactly.
was so good.
Yeah.
Far and away the best corner in the country. You can keep Justin Gilbert.
Right.
You can keep anybody you want. I'll take Darquez 10 days out of 10. The guy is so good. He locked them down. I mean, Isaiah Lewis had 13 tackles. He was all over the field.
Right.
I mean, they
right.
made Braxton Miller beat them with his legs.
Exactly. And that's what I said last week. I mean, if that's what I was keying in on. If Denard and Waynes had good games and shut down.
Which you knew they would.
Exactly. And if they shut down those receivers and forced Braxton to run, I would take those odds any day for MSU coming out with a victory.
But the big thing, if I'm an Ohio State fan, that I'm wondering is, why didn't Carlos Hyde get the ball? He had 18 carries.
Question.
He was average. He had 146 yards or so.
Mm-hmm.
Why doesn't he get the ball down the stretch? I know you want to give it to your best player, but it is 3rd and 3. Miller gets stuffed by Reynolds. And 4th and 2, Miller gets stuffed by Allen. Do you really think that Carlos Hyde wouldn't have been able to pick up a first down there? If you're a Buckeye fan.
If you're
fan.
A Buckeye
I think,
fan.
If you're
I think
a Buckeye
the MSU
fan,
defense had a good chance to stop him. But yeah, if you're a Buckeye fan.
They might have, but I mean,
yeah.
He was getting 3 or 4 yards a pop easily.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
If I'm Urban Meyer, that's what I'm killing myself over.
Right, right. Becca on line one. How you doing, Belka? Welcome to Current Sports.
I'm doing good. How are you, Al?
Very, very well. I believe you, Becca, you're with the Marching Man, right?
I am in the Marching Man, so I was there on Saturday.
Wow, nice, nice.
Well, I have a question for you. I'm obviously still in college, so I wasn't around for the 1988 Rose Bowl, excuse me. And I was just kind of wondering if you had any other callers that said kind of how this Rose Bowl experience compares to that one, like just the excitement and the drama leading up to it. So
right, right. Well, hey, thanks a lot, Becca, for your call. Appreciate it. I guess Becca will be down in Pasadena because she's with the marching band. That's pretty cool stuff there. But yeah, I mean, we talked with Mike and. Really, Mike Hogan, he's an MSU linebacker from 68 to 70. He attended the Rose Bowl in 1988, excuse me. He was really the only fan we came in contact with down there in Indy that, you know, had attended the 1988 Rose Bowl. But I tell you what, just looking at it from, I guess, from my perspective, I can only speak on my perspective on this. You know, looking at this year's team, and again, I go back to the progression. This season is so unique. Because, again, at the beginning of the season, this team, you know, looked just not like an elite team at all. You know, there were so many question marks left and right. And as the season went on, it was like watching a boy become a man. I mean, every single game, they got better and better. Every single game, they started to figure out who they were. That's what makes this season so special, I think. And that's why, you know, D'Antonio, and he talked about the number 7, you know, is in his 7th year, 7 is the number of completion in the Bible. And you know, and he talked about evolving, another big, you know, aspect to this year's team. That's what this season was about. You know, I think that's what makes this year's season so different from any other season. You know, and if you want to compare it to the seasons that MSU has gone, because I believe this is what their 4th time going to the Rose Bowl in program history, 5th time going. And when you look at those 5 times, I think that's what makes, if you're going to look at, you know, uniqueness on my end, it's got to be that involvement over time throughout the course of a year. So.
Yeah, I mean, they're a different team than they were 3 months ago. They're a different team than they were 2 months ago.
They are.
I mean, they just grow every single week. I mean, especially offensively, because that's where they had the most room to grow. But you can't tell me that the defense isn't better now than they were at the beginning of the season. They've taken big strides, too.
Yeah, they have.
I mean, all across the board. I mean, special teams, miles better than it was at the beginning of the season. Mike Sadler, we knew we had something coming into the year. Michael Geiger came in, highly touted freshman, lived up to it. I mean, maybe one of the unsung heroes of the team because, you know, we remember last year for all the close losses and all the missed kicks.
Yeah, and
this year we put a true freshman out there, and he misses one kick all season.
Right, right, exactly.
Yeah,
they
answered all the questions. They answered all the questions. And then comparing it to 1988, like what Mike was saying, just a different team makeup. This team definitely progressed more than the 1988 team. This team didn't have a quarterback, so – still same momentum, same feeling, I think, for fans. So
Stanford won't be any walk in the park, I tell you that. Stanford is a very, very good team.
Yes.
It's going to be a defensive battle. Stanford has a very, very good defense. They're very disciplined on offense as well. It's going to be very interesting. It's not going to be a shoe-in for MSU.
I think they win, though.
I'm not seeing any prediction as of right now yet. I need to do some more homework. You're chomping at the bit now. You're drinking the Kool-Aid right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, they match up well with Stanford.
They do. It's going to be a battle. I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring game.
Not at all.
It's going to be a very low-scoring game, just a grind-out type of matchup. So I believe we have another caller. Marv from East Lansing. How you doing, Marv?
Doing good. I just I'm thinking about that 88 Rose Bowl that season preceding it. I think the big difference is that very first game of that season was that first night game, Michigan State against USC. I mean, yep. We started mm-hmm. out with a big game. I mean, we started out with no doubts about this team. We knew where they could go. And so different from this year when there just wasn't almost any hope.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, yeah, I mean, right. And then we went back and played USC in the Rose Bowl. So, those, you know, they were kind of bookends to the season for us.
Exactly. You know, for you, Marv, I mean, looking at this MSU team, I got to ask you, I mean, how special is this moment for you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we haven't had a chance to go to the Rose Bowl, and we've had season tickets since 78. So.
Wow.
Yeah, that's...
Did you go to the 1988 Rose Bowl?
No. Uh-huh. We were young and had kids then.
But you were... Are you going to Pasadena?
Well, we have tickets. We get the rest of it put together. And I don't even know if we have tickets. You know, we just put in our request.
Yeah.
But, season ticket holders, we'll probably get them.
There you go. Thanks a lot, Marv. Appreciate
right.
the call.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Such a special moment. And I tell you, Earl Robbins has been waiting so long, you know, for this moment. And, of course, Earl, former reporter here, sports reporter here at WKAR. And I tell you what, I'm sure he's got his tickets, too. I'm sure. I'm going to be giving Earl a call later on. All right, really quickly, guys, we got 5 minutes left. The Detroit Lions, they fall to the Philadelphia Eagles in just one ugly game for them. Just my thoughts on it, guys. This Lions team is lacking leadership. I don't know if Schwartz is the head coach for this team. I don't know if they can win with Jim Schwartz. I'm going to say it right now. I think it starts at Jim Schwartz. Jim Schwartz, to me, does not have the leadership capabilities to lead this football team to where it needs to be. And I think you saw a product of that on Sunday.
Keep in mind that this is the first time they have gone anywhere with any coach.
But I tell you, looking at what they've done, losing games you should win. This team is so talented.
Right, but that's your stupid mistakes from the players, Al.
It has a lot to do with coaching. Okay, so the fake field goal, that you're telling us on the players too? That's a coaching decision.
Oh, that is a coach. That's one
game. When you look at leadership and where this team and the games that this team has lost these past few weeks, it's upsetting, and they're going nowhere this season.
Al, when Mark D'Antonio pulled Connor Cook for Andrew Maxwell.
That's totally different.
That's one game, and it doesn't matter because D'Antonio is still.
That's a totally different team. That's not the Detroit Lions, Alex. A team you can't compare the Michigan State football team to the Detroit Lions. That's a totally different scenario.
Plus, D'Antonio did that and then rattled off 9 straight wins.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, this is a Lions team. I admit, they're losing games. Turnovers. I mean, just stupid, silly mistakes that you should not be making at this point in the season. They're making right now, and I got doubts on this Lions team. I don't know.
What I'm saying is, what else has Jim Schwartz messed up on besides the one play?
Leadership. His leadership. The way he's leading this team right now, they're lacking leadership. Your head coach is supposed to go out there and I just feel as though the discipline of this team, silly mistakes such as penalties. That should all be hashed out in practice throughout this entire week. They're making silly mistakes, and when you talk about little mistakes in sports, that falls on the coach's shoulders. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I kind of agree with you, Al. I think he's wearing out his welcome rather quickly.
Without a doubt, man.
And you can't say the Lions did nothing before he got here because you can't frame now in terms of the past because
now
obviously
you have
the Lions
talent.
Are – one of the sorriest franchises in the NFL historically.
Right.
But now, like you said, they have elite talent all over the field.
Right.
I mean, they have, you know, the best wide receiver, possibly the best player in the NFL on their team.
You got a solid backfield, you know,
with
running Dell game.
With and Bush.
Exactly.
And they went away from that yesterday.
Why are you continuing to
throw the ball in 8 inches of snow? What are you doing?
Exactly.
When on the other side of the field, the Eagles are gashing you.
Right.
With read option plays.
Right, exactly. All they ran that the entire game because we were actually driving to Indy at the time of that Lions game, listening to it on the radio. So I actually went home and I looked at the highlights and I had the thing DVR'd. I watched most of it. And I'm just sitting there looking at this. Like, I mean, where does the leader – from a leader – that's the biggest thing that you know, when I was watching that game, I'm sitting there like, okay, where's the leadership on this team? I don't even know if Matthew Stafford is a guy, and he's the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, he couldn't even hold on to the ball.
Exactly.
They wouldn't even have been close was it not for Jeremy Ross having
a career day. Exactly.
Returning kicks and punts. I mean, they didn't even belong on the same field as Philadelphia.
Not at all.
And, you know, you can blame the weather all you want, but both teams had to play through it. it's not like it was just the Lions who had to play in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, other than the sense of childlike wonder watching the first quarter when it's just crazy out there,
I know, right?
It was a demoralizing loss.
It is.
As bad, probably, as the Tampa Bay loss.
Yeah, it just, without
it's
a
just,
doubt.
They're rudderless. They have no
And they just
will.
Let Philadelphia just run on them left and right, and I'm sitting there like, whoa. And it hasn't happened all season with this incredible defensive line they've had.
Yeah.
But all right, well, before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Production assistants Alex Sharg and Matt Lucky, engineer Aaron Young, Peter Worf, our station manager here at WKAR. Thanks to all of you out there for tuning in. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care, have one fantastic start to your week, and be easy, people.